Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our text for tonight from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, second chapter, verses 4 to 6. God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. This is the text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our victorious Savior and the Lord of the Church, dearly beloved, especially you candidates for the office of the Holy Ministry. It's always a thrill. Some of you, Council of Presidents, have been to 24 and more of these call services at the seminaries of the Church, and you know what I'm talking about. Call Day is always a very special day at the seminary. For the faculty who has observed your progress and growth and development at this place, for wives, parents, other family who have prayed and done so much for so long, and for you who are about to receive your first assignment as heralds of the King. And even though there are very scant few who will have to wait a few weeks to receive their first call, it's a time for all of us to praise God for putting us into the ministry, to be stewards of His mystery, and to handle in a very special way His word of truth. What is the fitting word for you who are about to put the armor on? Last week it was my privilege to speak to one of the district pastoral conferences in our beloved synod on the topic, the pastor as a person. And I had the privilege again to search through the pastoral letters of St. Paul to see what he had to say to his protégés, Timothy and Titus. He talked to them about personal qualities for the ministry. He talked to them about professional things and compared them, as we heard in the lesson before, to soldiers and athletes and farmers. He speaks of fidelity to the truth and commitment to that word given by inspiration of God and able to make them and others wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, any one of these or other topics treated by the apostle in his letters to young churches or in his experiences as they are recalled and related in the book of Acts would certainly be fitting. The text that we have chosen is one that is very simple and clear in presenting the gospel message. And the apostle closes that clear message by saying, "For this I was appointed a preacher." For this. Seven letters in the English, three letters in the Greek. And yet point us very specifically to what we are to be about and what you are to be about, regardless of where that call document sends you. May the Spirit of God bless both speaking and hearing. For this. For what? For testimony. Testimony to what? To two things. The first in verse 4, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires that every last one of the 4.7 billion people in this world, heirs of that foul up in the Garden of Eden, when God's purposes were thwarted, should not be lost and damned forever, but should come to the knowledge of the truth and be part of the eternal paradise above. Amazing. Amazing because there is nothing in man that should make God desire man or our salvation. The garden where God caused to grow trees that were pleasant for
sight and good for food and where he could look and see everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, became the site of pride, rebellion, and fall. In just a moment, God's crowning creation was suddenly out of sync with itself, with God, with nature. And through the history of the world, thousands upon thousands of years, that history of pride, rebellion, and fall has been repeated and repeated again. And yet the truth remains. God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That truth is affirmed in both Testaments. Look at the divine record. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, God says in the Old Testament. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And in the New Testament, the same. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and he that heareth, let him say, come, and whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Just think of the scope. The scope of that message that you are to proclaim and for which you have been called as preachers. Paul realized how universal this salvation was from his own experience. Why? Because he was included. Persecutor, blasphemer, one who insulted the Lord Jesus Christ and tried to destroy his church. He was the chief of sinners because he knew no one else's degradation better than his own. And yet it pleased God to choose him from his mother's womb, to reveal his will to him, to use him. Clay vessel to hold the jewels and the gems of the gospel. Indeed, he received mercy, as he says in the chapter before, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. For this, and think of the hunger and the thirst of God for the souls of men. Also in modern terms, he desires the salvation of the cynic and the agnostic, the polished pagan, the ruthless businessman, the pleasure seeker, the vulgar and profane, the scoffer, the one who pickets embassies and spreads poison gas and murders spouses and abuses children. And we can bring it closer to home, within the church. He desires the salvation of the self-righteous who thank God that they are none of the above. For the little child and the cantankerous elder, for the committed and the uncommitted, the sincere and the hypocrite. Think of it in terms of the calls that you're going to receive. You're going out to rural places and to the teeming central city, to mission places and to large established parishes, to the deaf and to the blind and to the students on campus and to people in cultures that are so different. And all of it remains true. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Aha! Even you and me, he desires. But who can sit in this place tonight and say, here am I, Lord, send me, without adding unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We who worship so carelessly, who pray so listlessly, who love so sparingly, who give so grudgingly, are we part of this team? Thank God it is true. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that we should preach his love for the unlovely. Oh, that we might have that thirst for souls to seek and to save what was lost. Pray God that he will give to you the spirit of the apostle who writes these words and who wanted to become all things to all men so that he might by all means save some. Who prayed so fervently for his fellow Jews and could wish himself almost accursed so that they might be saved. Who was afraid that he had labored in vain and was like a woman in the pangs of childbirth until Jesus Christ might be formed in those who heard him. For this you have been called and appointed as preachers for this. And not simply to say that God wants everybody to be saved, because the universalist says not only that, but that God will indeed save all. But also for this testimony that God has also given us one way by which men might be saved. And that the Apostle Paul talks about in verses 5 and 6. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Does God desire the salvation of everyone? Yes, and he didn't simply sit up there in the heavens and engage in wishful thinking. Even before the foundation of the world, he had fashioned this plan of salvation. And when the fullness of time was come, he sent his only begotten Son to ransom and to save. The man, Christ Jesus, born far away from the Klieg life and with no place to lay his head, who humbled himself ultimately and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And on that cross, he rescued those and ransoms those who had been caught in the snare of the devil. All the sins of all those mentioned before, he has taken upon his own holy, sinless body and soul that men might be forgiven. This is what God wants men to know, to come to the knowledge of this truth, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that for the sake of Jesus Christ, God is pleased to turn away his face of wrath, to look upon us with favor, to forgive us, and to save us. The lights in the Father's house are still burning. Jesus, sinners, dost receive. Come, believe, accept, be saved. This is God's plan for our salvation. And all of this, thank God we can rejoice in these holy days. Our seal is sealed to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the man Jesus Christ, but it is also the God-man Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power when God raised him from the dead. He who died has destroyed death, and he lives to bless us, to present his word with power. He lives and sits at the right hand of the Father of the United States and Nicaragua and China and Russia and all the rest of them subject unto him. He lives to plead our case before the throne of grace. He shall come again to receive all those who love his appearing, to take them to living fountains of waters where there will be an end to all sighing and crying, where we shall serve him with joy and without end. For this you have been called, to proclaim this message and to proclaim this Jesus Christ as the only Savior. There is one God, and we have no right to invent him in our own theological laboratory. And there is one mediator, not many, between God and man. The one, Christ Jesus. It is his name under heaven given among men, and none other. He is the way, and no one comes to the Father but by him. He who believes on the Son and none other shall have everlasting life. Now, when St. Paul talks this way and says, for this I've been called, he wasn't simply engaging in some pious rhetoric to which he wanted Timothy to be committed, but for which he himself felt no commitment. Paul's ministry was completely and wholly for this.
And you just follow him along as he goes from Antioch to Cyprus to Asia Minor to Macedonia and Achaia and all the way to Rome. What was the testimony? Live according to the golden rule. Do the best that you can. Be better than you were. You know better than that. It was Jesus Christ and him crucified that he alone was determined to know. And he gave the same message as he gives in the text to everyone that confronted him. When the jailer at Philippi asked that very direct question, the answer was very direct. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he said the same thing to the philosophers in Athens. He said the same thing to the people in the synagogue at Thessalonica, where for 3 days he wrestled and spoke to them out of the scriptures, affirming that Jesus was the Christ. He said the same thing at that tearful farewell to the elders of the church of Ephesus, and spoke of that God who had purchased the church with his blood. And to the Jews at Rome, told them of this one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. For this, dear young creatures to be, God has appointed you. To be fishers of men and not, as someone said a long time ago already, keepers of an aquarium. To invite people to the banquet of the king, not, as someone else said, to cook up your own secular dish sprinkled with a little ecclesiastical garnish. To be heralds of the good news, not analysts of the 5 o'clock news. To do battle against Satan, and not to engage in guerrilla warfare against those who oppose you. To heal the wounds of the afflicted, and not to spend your energy licking your own. That Jesus may increase, and you decrease, and not the other way around. That you please the one who has called you, and do not bow to every ecumenical pressure and whim. That you hold high the cross, not the placard of your own ego. Listen to the words again. God our Savior desires all men to be saved. Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. For this testimony we give you joyfully to the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.